It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On Capitol Hill, Senate lawmakers are putting forth dozens of changes to President Trump's centerpiece legislation, known as the Big Beautiful Bill, with a marathon voting session on amendments to the bill that is over 900 pages long. The president is pressuring his party to pass the sweeping tax cuts and spending package in time for him to sign it by Friday, the 4th of July. Over the weekend, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin was a key flip to supporting the bill in a procedural vote. Johnson previously spoke out against the package and called for deeper cuts for federal spending. To unpack the latest developments in President Trump's mega bill and what it could mean for Wisconsin, we're joined by Susan Johnson, associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government and Law and associate dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we speak, this marathon voting session in the Senate for amendments is still going on, and it's record-breaking for the most number of votes in Votorama history. Why are there so many amendments to this bill?
I think that the number of amendments that we're seeing, and as you mentioned, it's a record number, is it speaks to the level of concern that members of the Republican Party have as far as what's included. And it's also meant as a way for people who may be reluctant to support the bill to at least be able to come forward and say that there were amendments that they offered that were not successful, and as a way to maybe kind of justify a yes vote.
And we've heard, too, that Democrats have been forcing tough votes for Republicans. Can you pick apart those words for us and what that means?
So one of the important things that happens during these type, what, again, they call the Votorama, and is that members of the opposition party will try to put forward amendments that would make people of the other party come forward and show support for things that otherwise might not be supported by the country. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things in this bill that are the polling shows are not supported by the majority of Americans. And so by offering amendments, the Democrats also have the opportunity to try to put forward the fact that they are forcing Republicans to really put out there that they support some things that Americans don't necessarily support.
And it's interesting, only a handful of these amendments have been successful. One has been talked about that strips out a provision that would have barred states from regulating artificial intelligence for a decade. What stands out to you about the attempts to change this bill?
You know, I've been focusing on some of the attempts that I'm seeing this tension within the Republican Party in regard to some of the cuts that we've been reading a lot about as far as Medicaid and SNAP and other things like that. Some of the carve-outs that they're trying to make for particular states and individual senators to try to get their vote. But then also I'm seeing this tension within the Republican Party where some members like Rick Scott, Senator Ron Johnson, for example, are calling for steeper cuts. And so there's pushes to have amendments voted on that would make the cuts that we're seeing even greater. But then at the same time, there's others in the Republican Party who are pushing for amendments that would limit those cuts.
And over the weekend, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson changed to a key yes vote in the procedural vote. And he told NPR yesterday that talks with the White House have been going well. Let's listen.
In multiple meetings with the president, his staff, they've satisfied my requirement, which was a commitment to a reasonable pre-pandemic level spending and a process to achieve and maintain it.
So how does this bill compare to pre-pandemic spending, and how did Senator Johnson get to a yes vote?
That's a really good question, Kate. as I look at all of the fiscal breakdowns of the bill, I mean, what we see is that the Senate version actually adds more to the federal debt than and the deficit than the House bill. The CBO estimated
Congressional Budget Office.
Uh-huh. Right. Sorry. Yeah. I've estimated that we're looking at over a $4 trillion addition to the deficit over less than a decade. So I've not been able to honestly tease out specifics that Senator Johnson is speaking to that would suggest that there would be the cuts that he's referring to that got him to, I mean, there's definitely cuts for sure, but those are offset by extending and making permanent certain tax cuts. And so I'm just not seeing what the solid examples would be.
We are with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor in the Department of Politics, Government and Law at UW-Whitewater, as we check in on the developments in President Trump's tax and spending package, the big, beautiful bill that is currently going through amendments in the Senate. Turning to Medicaid, Senator Ron Johnson told NPR as well that states have, quote, legalized fraud under Medicaid expansion because of how states receive federal funds, and alleging states are, quote, rolling in the dough from the federal government. What do you make of that response?
Well, as I think most of us know, when there was the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act, Wisconsin declined to take some of those resources. They were one of the handful of states that declined those federal dollars. And I would say that in this current piece of legislation, there would be about 60,000 people in Wisconsin who would lose Medicaid coverage or coverage that they receive under the Affordable Care Act. What we're hearing from many Republicans, not just Senator Johnson, but others, is that these cuts are people who would lose access, are people who are, again, committing fraud. And there's not evidence that we're seeing that many people who are on the Medicaid rolls that are committing fraud. I think that it's important to also point out that this would disproportionately impact people who are older and not yet at Medicare levels, but people who are 50 and above. And one of the things that they've spoken about doing is adding additional work requirements and additional reporting requirements. And I think that it's important to point out that the idea that there is fraud is tied in some measure to some of the way that the information is collected and monitoring work requirements and things like that. And I just don't see that the examples of fraud that are being used as a reason for making these cuts are as clear as some might argue.
I want to ask you for a moment about the Senate parliamentarian and their role, because, you know, as the Senate has pushed for restrictions on Medicaid, we've heard about the Senate parliamentarian finding some measures out of compliance with Senate rules. Can you talk about the role of the parliamentarian at this moment in ushering this bill through the chamber?
Yeah, absolutely. So because the Senate is using a process called reconciliation, which they're allowed to do for budget-related measures, what this does is it allows them to pass the bill with a simple majority, as opposed to requiring 60 votes to invoke cloture after a potential filibuster. So we hear a lot about the Senate needing 60 votes. In this case, they just need 50 plus the vice president, or 51 without the vice president. And so because only budget-related provisions can be in this type of bill, the parliamentarian is asked to rule on how any particular provision is budget-related or not. And so that person, it's a nonpartisan position, is asked to evaluate individual amendments, individual clauses in the bill, and then says yes or no as far as whether or not they are admissible.
And this bill, being over 900 and some odd pages, that would have a lot of, that would be a lot of work, would it not?
Sure. I mean, it is, and except for usually it's when something is brought to their attention and then they would then make a ruling on
it. Okay. All right. Quickly here, rural hospitals, this provision in the Senate version of putting a $25 billion stabilization fund, what would this fund, why would the fund be needed? What would it do?
So one of the concerns with rural hospitals is that, and this would hit Wisconsin particularly hard, is that a lot of the services they provide are to Medicaid recipients and those who receive services and insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And so if they're not able to get Medicaid and use Affordable Care Act resources, then the funding levels for the hospitals will go down, and then there would need to be some other way to help maintain their viability.
Susan, thank you so much for the update. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you.
Susan Johnson is an associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law, and associate dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. We've been learning about this marathon push by Senate Republican leaders to secure final votes on President Trump's massive spending and tax cut package, and how this legislation affects Wisconsinites.